Blog Talk Radio.
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Come worshiping before the throne of God.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with our one and only Sister Marie. Well, she's in studio. I'm going to bring her on right now. We're not going to waste any time. And as I bring her on, let me just remind everyone that if you're in need of prayer, don't forget to send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. My dear sister, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Trying to keep the dogs quiet.
Yes, well, it's hard to do.
Yep.
Dogs have a mind of their own. And there's no way you can keep them quiet.
Well, the wind is blowing, and someone stopped by, and they were just going berserk while the music was on.
Right.
They're grounded
for
a few minutes anyway.
Absolutely. So what's new? What's new, my sister?
Oh, a lot of things. I just found out I'm babysitting tomorrow. I had no idea. I forgot. Church World will be doing news coming up soon here. We're going to do news before we get into the next series. What's new with you?
Well, I was at prayer at church, and there was a knock on the door, and there's never a knock on the door because the people who would want to get into the building have a key to the building. But there was a knock on the door, and I opened the door, and there was POW. There was Pastor Brenda and Reverend Donna and Minister Celeste and also Dr. G. Four of them were up in my neck of the woods, and they're spending this whole Holy Weekend with us. And look at Chico. He just said I heard him because I'm a good dog interpreter. He says I want to be there too.
Yes,
that's what
exactly.
Chico said. Yeah.
I'm pointing at him, and he's looking at me like, "What?
Sure.
I heard a noise."
Yeah.
A surprise.
Yeah, big time surprise. A knock on the door, and my son comes, taps on my shoulder. He says, Dad, there's somebody knocking on the door. And I open the door, and there they are. And the organization is called POW, Pastors on Wheels. And sure enough, they drove almost six hours to get to where I'm at. And, I was just blessed. Blessed.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely. So they're going to be there tonight for the Holy Thursday service, and they'll be tomorrow, Good Friday, and then Sunday, Resurrection Sunday service. So I'm a blessed guy. I'm so blessed.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yes,
they come from all over, and as you know, we're there with them on Mondays and Thursdays. And so they made the trip, and what a surprise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. I'll bet you're thrilled. You know, it's always nice to see those people that you've spent a lot of time in prayer with and been around and worked together. It's always nice to see them.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
So that's
fantastic. Yeah, again,
what a blessing.
I appreciate it because I know what it is to take that trip in the other direction. You know, I know what it is to go down to New York City. That's a long trip, a very long trip. So the fact that they made it, I was just blessed. And they came a little early. They said, we were here at 11:30, but we hid. And we waited for you to go into the building at 12. And, now think about this. If I had been like Benny Hinn, let's say if I was a Benny Hinn kind of preacher that I get on the air and I say, we are praying here at the prayer tower from 12 to 1 o'clock, and of course Benny never showed up. But he would tell the people that he was, they were going to have prayer from 12, but it wasn't Benny, it was his staff.
Yeah.
So, if I was a Benny Hinn, they would have been knocking on the door and said, where is this guy? I thought he was going to be here, he's been telling everybody he's here at the church. And
yeah,
you never
exactly.
know who's going to pop up. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
I just
you
had somebody
know.
Pop in, and it's like they know I'm on the radio from 1
right.
to 3 normally.
Right.
Now we're
right.
doing 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I opened the door and I said, I'm on the radio, and shut the door.
Yep, yep, yep.
What a welcome. How
mm-hmm.
rude.
Right, right.
It's like, okay. Oh.
Sure.
So anyway.
Sure.
But
absolutely. So we're doing this wonderful show today. Set this up for us.
Yeah.
It's a continuation of what we've been talking
yes.
about, which is a vital, vital, vital issue that we've been talking
yes.
about.
I think you'll see more about that as we get near the end of it, which we will be shortly. We'll be getting near the end of the audio, and
mm-hmm.
I think you'll realize then how important this whole thing is.
Right.
You know. So we're going to continue with the Church of Tares. That's the audio. It was written, directed, and narrated by Elliot Nesh. He gives us the history of the purpose-driven, the seeker-sensitive, and the church growth movement. Now, last week, Mr. Nesh spent a considerable amount of time showing the connection between Peter Drucker and Rick Warren.
Right.
That includes Bill Hybels, too.
Mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm.
in turn, shows us the connection between these men and the mega church movement. Because Drucker is the brainchild behind the
mm-hmm.
megachurch movement.
Right.
So if we keep in mind that Drucker, he's a management consultant, an educator, and an author. He was not a Christian at all. And that's his own words. He's not a Christian.
Right.
And yet
right.
he's the brainchild behind the megachurch movement. So this whole idea that he had or explored was to combine, merge together humans, businesses, and government, especially
right.
nonprofit sectors of society. He wanted
mm-hmm.
to merge that together. That became the emergent church.
Right.
So that's the utopia that he desired. And that's his three-legged stool.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we see happening.
Right.
You know,
right.
so all this with the mega church starting and all this, this is all Drucker, Druckerite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right, right.
And it's business-driven, not Christ-centered. These leaders are change agents. They are not pastors. It's based on worldly ideas and gimmicks to draw people in, and it's a direct attack on the gospel, and it's sown by Satan. So how much more can you say about it? Go ahead. Do you have any
yeah.
comments?
Now, we need to remind the audience that there is a church growth movement, but
mm-hmm.
it is headed by the Holy Spirit, and
correct.
It is the church growth movement of Crisis Church. Then
yes.
there's this apostate church movement, which Drucker is the father of.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
we should not seed church. We shouldn't say, well, we don't believe in church growth because Drucker and Rick Warren and Bill Hybels and that group
right.
Polluted
right.
church growth, because we own church growth before anybody owned it, and that you find that
mm-hmm.
in the Book of Acts.
Yes. Exactly.
So, you know, so what we're talking about today is apostate church
mm-hmm.
growth movement.
Correct. The Church yep. of Tares.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Right.
So,
right.
In Matthew 21:13 in the NIV, it says, "It is written, he, Jesus, said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers or thieves," in other translations. And just to show that there's nothing new under the sun, Jeremiah 7:11 says, has this house, which bears my name, Adena Roberts, to you. And now listen to what God says. This is Yahweh. Said, but I have been watching, declares the Lord. He's watching. He knows what's going on with all this. Of course he does. We know that. But he's watching. And I think that's a wake-up call for a lot of pastors, you know, that he's watching these things going on. And so if they think they're going to get away with anything, they aren't with this movement. He knows
right.
exactly. That happened
right.
in Jeremiah. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
He said the same thing that he says in Matthew. You know? A den of robbers.
Right.
You know? But I've been watching, declared the Lord. And that's Yahweh. There.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
So if we go back to Jeremiah 7:10, go back one, God even exposes their thoughts in this. He said, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we are safe, safe to do all these detestable things. So he knows exactly what's going on, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they think they're getting away with something. They think they're safe.
Right.
They really do. So,
The problem with these people is, and with all apostates, is that they don't believe in God. They think they're going to get
Correct.
Over. They think no one's going to hold them accountable. They think that they're going to get away with murder and fleecing
mm-hmm.
and doing all that they do. And,
yep.
yeah, God's going to hold them accountable. They're going to be shocked. They will be shocked.
Yes.
They will say, but,
yep.
Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And didn't we do this in your name? And this? He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Never.
Exactly.
That's a big word, never. It's not like
yep.
he said, well, I knew you, and then we separated. No, he says, I never knew you. You were never part of me.
Right.
You deceived yourself, but you were never part of me.
And they think they're safe in this, bro. You know, they really think that they can do these detestable things and get away with it, but they're not.
Right.
You know, they're not going to get away with this. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so then we have, now, the audio, I have two notes here, 1-205-05. And one says 211, where we ended. But I looked it over, and if we went back to 204.18, the man speaking there is just starting to speak on the subject. And excuse
okay.
me if my voice is a little raspy today or I'm losing it.
Okay.
It's just allergies, according to my doctor, of all things. And wait a minute. You caught something last week that I missed. And I thought about it when I was listening to this again. He said, Chris was having a conversation with that Paul Smith. I think it was Paul Smith. And I just got it on a different level when I heard it again. And I realized what you were saying. He said there was a bunch of women that, and he was talking about he introduced all these purpose-driven people into the church, and I thought he said, and the women. But it sounds like he said women, just women. So does he mean that the men that he named are really women, or did he mean he was picking out the women in the purpose-driven church? Because when I listened to it, I said, wait a minute. That's what bro said. You played it back. And the
right.
penny
I mean,
didn't
I,
drop for a minute.
To me it sounded like, okay, these guys that are leading this, they're really women. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
That I mean, that's
Was
how
it just
I understood
slangy?
It.
Would he be
yeah.
is he saying they're really women, or is he saying that they're more feminine? That might have been a better word. I mean, you know, to use, if that's what he's saying, for us to get an idea, because nowadays, if you say they're women, we take that literally, you know, because we don't know, you know. So I don't know. It was just something you said last week, and you caught it, and I didn't, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's why I said let's play it again, because I thought I heard him say that these guys were women, and when I played it, I said, that's what he's saying. He's saying these guys are women. That's an insult, you know.
Yes.
To say that I wear pantyhose and high heels is an insult. Or to say that I put, you know, makeup on, eyeshadow, eyelashes, you know, all that stuff, that's insulting.
Yeah.
That's insulting.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because it went straight over my head. I thought he said, and women. But when I was, you know, going back to take notes on the rest of the audio, I heard what you heard then. I thought,
right.
Wait a minute. And I think we'll play it again. It'll show up in this. So if we can go to 204.18, I think that's a
good start.
Okay.
Here it is.
Peter Drucker is the person that I most respected who is alive in my time.
My first introduction to Peter Drucker came through Leadership Network, and I was invited to meet Peter Drucker and Bob Buford and spend 3 days with them. Peter Drucker was the speaker. Bob Buford was the one who funded the program. And while there, I met a number of the professors from Fuller Seminary, as well as some young men who had been invited through Leadership Network and Bob Buford to come. There were a couple of our assistant pastors from Calvary Chapel that were there as well. Weren't sure what it was all about. Heard a lot about Peter Drucker and his systems management. I did not become involved with Leadership Network. I just met for that short period of time.
Apologist and pirate Christian radio host Chris Roseborough interviewed emergent leader Doug Padgett regarding the beginnings of the emergent church.
Can you tell us about what Leadership Network is and who Bob Buford is and that kind of stuff to start?
All right, this is where the quote comes in.
Pageant, he said, right?
Yeah.
On that. Okay, got it.
Start off with.
Yeah, Bob Buford is the funder and originator of a network called Leadership Network. So I was hired to create what they referred to in internal language there as the Young Leaders Network.
Got it.
And it was young in relationship to the other networks that exist in Leadership Network.
I don't think a lot of people really get this, is that you practically handpicked the entire crop of current leaders, both in the seeker-driven, purpose-driven, and emergent movements all by yourself. You got Tony Jones, Dan Kimball, Mark Driscoll. You've got Rob Bell, Craig Rochelle, you know, Andy Stanley.
Yeah, and a bunch of women.
Leadership Network was really instrumental in help.
A bunch of women.
A bunch of women. That's what he said. You know, I heard that so much better with headphones. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no disputing that this time. A bunch of women.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He didn't say, and a bunch of women. That's what I thought he said the first time. He said, a bunch of women.
Right.
Wow.
That's what he
said.
Wow. Here it is again.
That's Mark Driscoll, too.
Doug Padgett regarding the beginnings of the emergent church.
Can you tell us about what Leadership Network is and who Bob Buford is and that kind of stuff to start off with?
Yeah, Bob Buford is the funder and originator of a network called Leadership Network. So I was hired to create what they referred to in internal language there as the Young Leaders Network.
Got it.
And it was young in relationship to the other networks that exist in Leadership Network.
I don't think a lot of people really get this, is that you practically handpicked the entire crop of current leaders, both in the seeker-driven, purpose-driven, and emergent movements all by yourself. You got Tony Jones, Dan Kimball, Mark Driscoll. You've got Rob Bell, Craig Rochelle, Andy Stanley, all of
Christy,
and
a bunch of women.
Leadership Network was really instrumental in helping to start Willow Creek as well as Saddleback. Am I correct in that?
Well, not the churches, but they were influential in helping them think about creating associations where churches could learn from their particular models.
Okay, so like the Willow Creek Association.
Willow Creek Association, the purpose-driven association.
Okay, and Buford, he was really tight with Peter Drucker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Bob and Peter were personal friends, and
uh-huh.
Peter Drucker, who's a management guru to some people's mind and a thinker on especially nonprofit management principles,
mm-hmm.
had encouraged Bob to think about investing his wealth in supporting churches, believing that one of the most under-realized and under-examined and under-resourced movements in North America in the 20th century was the advent of the large mega church,
mm-hmm.
typically in suburbs and sort of non-denominational large mega churches.
He goes on to state that the Druckerites, Bob Buford.
See, but I would argue, of course, Drucker and that whole group, but I would argue that church growth was not invented by C. Peter Wagner or Drucker or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's always copying. For example,
yep.
when you read the parable of the sower, right, and you read about the wheat and the tares, who goes
mm-hmm.
out first and plants the wheat? The Lord does.
Yes, yes,
and
he
then
does.
Who imitates what the Lord does? Satan.
Satan. Yes.
You never find where God is imitating Satan. Satan is always imitating God.
Right.
So whenever there's a
yep.
legitimate church growth, Satan comes along with his apostate church growth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's exactly right. And who leads first with that? Let me tell you, who's taken out first? The tare.
Right.
And thrown into
sure.
the fire.
Sure.
Interesting.
Sure. Absolutely. The last shall be first. They
mm-hmm.
came. The Satan came and sowed them after the Lord
mm-hmm.
sowed his seeds, and then, the tares grow and they're gathered because they're good for nothing. They don't produce. They are
right.
Look, it is what it is. And so what does God do? He has his angels put them into bundles and he casts them into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Yep.
Yep.
Buford, Bill Hybels, and Rick Warren formed, bankrolled, and promoted the emerging church much the same way a music marketing company might form and promote a boy band like the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. Rick Warren also endorsed Leadership Network organizer Bob Buford's book, Halftime, calling Buford a rare individual, and said, "I want every man in my congregation to read this inspiring story." Bob Buford reciprocates admiration to Rick Warren, saying on his official website, "Expect to meet change makers. In the early days of Leadership Network, it was Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. Now these two have enormous self-sufficient teaching ministries on their own." As for megachurch pastor Bill Hybels and Willow Creek's role with Leadership Network and the emerging church, Bob Buford says, "The first foundation conference was held in Dallas, and was the beginning of a partnership between Bob and Linda, Leadership Network, and Willow Creek Community Church. Bob and Linda provided the vision and willingness to underwrite any shortfall. Bill Hybels and the music and drama team from Willow Creek provided expertise in designing messages that hit the heart through a very high-quality blend of the spoken work, music, and drama. Considering the loyalties of Rick...
Look at that. Lectures, music, and drama. What is that? Entertainment. That's what that is. Just pure, unadulterated entertainment. What the goats like. What Spurgeon declared the goats would like. So, any comment? Okay, where's my sister?
Well, sorry. I'm here.
No problem.
I'm here.
Okay. No, I was just saying. Yeah. Go ahead.
I forgot to unmute.
Go ahead, cheer.
I was talking. I forgot to unmute. Fuller Seminary, when you look back at Antonio Gramsci, we remember his thought process there. He wanted to infiltrate the seminaries, remember, with Marxism.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so we're seeing that disguised as something else here. Listen, I think, you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." There was no marketing strategies, no worldly music, no elevation of the pastors. It was Christ alone.
That's
you know,
it.
There's
no
simplicity.
No drama, no drama,
right.
None of that baloney.
Yeah. There's a simplicity in Christ. And you
right.
know, this is strategy. This is marketing strategy.
Mm-hmm.
There was no strategy.
Right.
Paul said. So, anything you have
yeah,
to say
the
on
moment,
it?
And, yeah, and the moment you try to use, when Paul says, "I didn't come to you with eloquent words or excellency of speech,"
mm-hmm.
the moment you try to craft your sermon and make it appealing, you know what Joel does, right? I mean, Joel goes
yeah.
away, you know, from Monday to Thursday, he's away writing his sermon or whatever he does, resting, and then he, you know, and he crafts that sermon. And he, you know, there's none of that. No crafting
right.
of anything. You don't need, first of all, the gospel, God already laid out the gospel. All you have to do is say it the way he laid it out. It's that
exactly.
simple.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Jesus said, I will build my church. So, if it's built without Jesus, it's not the church. It's that simple. You know, there's a simplicity here.
Sure.
If you try
sure.
to build something without Christ, that's not the church.
Right.
So,
see, it's like right now you have Major League Baseball. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On any given day, you'll see the fans of a team at the home games. Right?
Right.
Sometimes you'll find, let's say like the New York Mets fan, they will travel to Philadelphia to see the Mets play
uh-huh.
Philly, or they'll travel to D.C. to see a game, you know, between the Nationals and the Mets, because they're real fans.
Uh-huh.
Paula White's husband, whatever his name is, Jonathan Cain, right? Okay, he's part of the band Journey. Well, the band
mm-hmm.
Journey has more members showing up for their services than Paula White has at her church.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So any
yes.
listen, comedians can build a following. YouTubers,
mm-hmm.
You
yes.
look at those people on YouTube. They got tremendous followers. They got thousands of people watch their videos.
Yeah.
Listen, it's all kinds of people are building a following.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds.
That's a good point.
Right?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So,
yes.
So, you know, it's like Krispy Kreme donut. Krispy Kreme donut. It's a mega church. Or
mm-hmm.
You know, you got to when we go from our little town over to another bigger town, they have a Dunkin' Donuts. My goodness, you got to see the line on the morning. For one time, my wife says, "Oh, I would like to get a little latte." I said, "No way, I'm standing on line 30 minutes for a coffee." Because they have a following. Dunkin' Donuts has a following.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of look at Jennifer LeClaire. Jennifer LeClaire's got like 20 different schools of learning. She's got registered students. Even crazy, whack job Jennifer LeClaire's got a following.
Right.
She does. She really has a – that insane woman has a following. Kat Kerr.
Yep.
Crazy Kat Kerr, cotton candy hair Kat Kerr. She's got a following.
Yep.
It just, it's amazing the way. So it doesn't mean you're a mega church. Walmart. How many people prefer to go? I prefer to go to Walmart because this is what I can do. I take the car to the automotive center there at Walmart. They change my oil. While they're changing my oil, my wife is getting some groceries. Then she goes from the grocery, she starts looking at plates. Then from the plate, she goes over and starts looking at curtains. And there you go. So it's a one-stop place.
Yes.
It's a one-stop place. Right?
Yep.
I told the guy the last time, I said, "You do my oil change, I'm going to be in the back seat sleeping." He says, "Why are you going to be sleeping?" I said, "Because my wife's going to be here all day. I'm tired. This woman has me going from one place to another. I'm gonna sleep here like Rip Van Winkle. You just do what you got to do, and that's, I need a nap. I'm worn
beam
out.
Beam me up on that. That
yeah.
They picture all
right.
Just
so,
beam me up.
Right. So this is really there's a whole lot of people and businesses and. That have followings, right?
That's a good point. It's a really good point because you could, but why are they calling it a church? See, that's where the problem lies.
The problem, as you and I know, is that they are Satan sent because you see, they are ministers of Satan transforming themselves as ministers of Christ. Listen, Satan, more than anything, Satan is going to what? Support and give full
backing.
Thumbs up.
Yes.
To anything that will damn a soul.
That's right.
And what are these apostate churches doing? They're damning souls because they're teaching damnable heresies. That's why. So Satan is going to put all his backing on these mega churches. I'm looking at that guy's book, the guy that they're just mentioning now. He sold, this is what it says here. He sold 450,000 copies. 450.
Wow.
I mean, listen, I can't even give away 450, and my book is free.
Because it's truth what you put out there.
Right,
that's the difference.
Right, but
you're not
tickling
any ears, see?
Right.
You're not tickling ears.
So Satan is going to back these people, right? He's going to, look, we just read about Driscoll. Driscoll took $210,000 from his church account and bought his book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just to make it on the New York Times bestsellers. Is that not deception? That's massive deception.
Yes, it is.
You lied. You're not on the New York Times bestsellers list the way other people are. You bought your way on to that. No.
That's correct.
These are, and again, I'm not saying that they don't have followings. They have massive followings. But that's because Satan is backing their play.
Yes.
So
I mean, they do have, these places do have humongous crowds, and that, unbelievable. If you look at Olsteen, But we remember it in Romans 9:27, Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only a remnant will be saved. And if it's true for them, it's true for us. You know, we're the ones who endure to the end. We believe on Jesus. We keep his word. You know, so the remnant, it's different. The gathering of the remnant is different than the mega church, because they're promoting this, that these huge, humongous gatherings are, you know, it's the Lord bringing these people in. It's not. These are tares. These are the gathering of the tares. And this, at the end of the day, is a three-legged stool that we want to stay away from.
Right.
At all costs. At all costs.
At all costs.
You have to stay away. You have to stay away from that, because that falls into the Antichrist system.
Sure.
So
a salvation plan. Think of this. A salvation plan that tells you you can be saved but still live in sin is going to be very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Joel Osteen says, say this little prayer with me. Abracadabra, fee-fi-fo, right? So, if you said that prayer, you are born again. Reach me. Reach out. You know, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham.
Mm-hmm.
He comes on Fox News, you know, during the commercials. We're in the holy season, and Jesus is looking for you. Do you love Jesus? Are you looking for Jesus? Well, say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I sinned. Will you forgive me of my sins? Will you accept me into your heart? And I accept you into my heart. And will you make me a child of yours? And So if you said that prayer, contact us.
Right.
And so people think that they got saved because they said some little prayer.
Right.
Right? So
people are confused, bro, out there. They're really confused.
Sure.
They're confused. You know, I heard something the other day about, and I'll let you finish. Do you want to finish first?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. You were good. Well, it was really weird. Do you remember when Nebuchadnezzar was eating in the field like an animal, right?
Right.
He was eating the grass, the field.
Right. Right.
You know that in the world, people who call themselves Christians actually say that that's when God turned him into a werewolf. That's what they're saying. Forgive me. That's what they believe. They're into this Bigfoot, werewolf, you know.
Yeah, sure.
QAnon.
Sure.
And they're mixing that with Christianity, taking the Bible and said, oh, look, now he's a werewolf.
Right.
I almost fell over. I thought, okay, that's bad. That's Kat Kerr, Jennifer LeClaire.
Sure.
You know, think how confused people are right now. It's a simple, the gospel is simple. And they've, you know, they're adding all these, not only are they adding this stuff, the business and all this, but they're adding the craziness. And that's where the Kat Kerr's and Jennifer LeClaire's come in, you know, to confuse it even more. And this is why you're in there straightening it back out, going back to the gospel. I mean, It's crazy out there. But, you know, really think about that. People, they have no idea what's going on. They have no idea, you know. I don't think people realize how far we are off track. and these people are behind it. These people are part of it. I won't say all of it, but part of the big plan.
Well, they are, because they're the main peddlers and pushers of this agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And notice how they have money. I mean, it takes money.
Yes.
You know, this guy was Drucker was encouraging this guy, use your fortune, use your money to promote this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's rich people promoting, you know, this doctrines of demons concept. And it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people like me or like other preachers who don't ask for money, we're at a disadvantage because we hardly have any budget to counter what these and these guys have people writing big checks so that they can pollute minds.
Yeah. Satan provides the finances, too, see, for these things.
Yeah.
Not only does he promote them, he provides the finances to keep this going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, here's more.
Emergent leader Doug Padgett regarding the beginnings of the emergent church.
Can you tell us about what Leadership Network is and who Bob Buford is and that kind of stuff to start off with?
Yeah, Bob Buford is the funder and originator of a network called Leadership Network. So I was hired to create what they referred to in internal language there as the Young Leaders Network.
Got it.
And it was young in relationship to the other networks that exist in Leadership Network.
I don't think a lot of people really get this, is that you practically handpicked the entire crop of current leaders, both in the seeker-driven, purpose-driven, and emergent movements all by yourself. You got Tony Jones, Dan Kimball, Mark Driscoll. You've got Rob Bell, Craig Rochelle, you know, Andy Stanley.
Yeah, and a bunch of women.
Leadership Network was really instrumental in helping to start Willow Creek as well as Saddleback. Am I correct in that?
Well, not the churches, but they were influential in helping them think about creating associations where churches could learn from their particular models.
Okay, so like the Willow Creek Association.
Willow Creek Association, the purpose-driven association.
Okay, and Buford, he was really tight with Peter Drucker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Bob and Peter were personal friends, and
uh-huh.
Peter Drucker, who's a management guru to some people's mind and a thinker on especially nonprofit management principles,
mm-hmm.
had encouraged Bob to think about investing his wealth in supporting churches, believing that one of the most under-realized and under-examined and under-resourced movements in North America in the 20th century was the advent of the large mega church,
mm-hmm.
typically in suburbs and sort of non-denominational large mega churches.
I'm sorry that I replayed that because I wanted to share something that the Holy Spirit was prompting me to share. And it's not because I'm hearing voices, you know, I'm not getting a new revelation or anything like that. I don't want my Reformed friends to think I went off the deep end. But notice how the Druckers and the Rick Warrens and the Bill Hybels and all those other old fogies that basically already have one leg in the grave, right? I mean, you look at Hybels,
mm-hmm.
he's up there in age. You look at Rick Warren, he's up there in age. Drucker,
right.
He's dead now, right? Is he dead?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, he's dead. Okay. So notice how they went for the young guys.
Yes.
Because they realized that the leavening of the church was not going to happen during their lifetime.
They needed to
pollute the minds of a younger generation to keep the dream going or to keep the nightmare going, if you will.
Yes.
And in that, too, they imitate, Satan imitates God. Because when Jesus chose his disciples, they were all young.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus impressed truth into those young men so that the church under their leadership would have a good 50, 60 years. Now, the reason
mm-hmm.
why many of those men were not around for 50, 60 years was because they were martyred.
Right.
Right? But he picked them young.
Yep. Yeah.
So that the church would have a future. Right? And so notice how even Satan himself, he copies Jesus. Let me get these jokers young. And, you know, Rob Bell is young. Andy Stanley, he's young, you know.
Yeah.
Steve Furtick, he's a young man, right?
Yeah.
So notice, I mean, all of these wicked, wicked, wicked people that lead these churches. Joel Osteen is relatively young. When he started out, when he took over for his dad, he had a little mullet, right? I mean, he was like, you know, he looked like a high school kid. No one gave him a chance in hell to pastor that church. And of course, I have no doubt that Satan had a demon possession. This is my opinion. Now, this is not Sister Marie. This is a disclaimer. This is just my opinion. Nobody on that partners with me is saying this. This is just me alone. I believe Joel Osteen is possessed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that boy has a demon in him. Because listen, there is no way you can preach those sermons week after week after week. There's no. First of all, he's a dopey kid. If you looked at him, he was just a dopey kid, and was going nowhere fast.
Mm-hmm.
Until something happened.
Right.
Think about Hitler. Where was Hitler going? Nowhere fast. You read the early life.
No, he was a painter, wasn't
right?
he?
Yeah, he's a painter. He was a nothing. He failed at everything. Failed. And then one day, he shows up. Remember that show that you did about that musician who went at the crossroads? Prior to the crossroads, he was a what? A failure. Didn't even know how to put the strings on the guitar.
You know, that's a good
then
point.
Then he comes back, and all of a sudden, he's showing those guys who wouldn't let him play with him. He's showing them new moves on the guitar. Everybody knew that boy has something inside of him. There's no way. So
that was
Satan
grabs
them young.
At the crossroads.
That's it. Satan grabs them young. And, you know, listen, Furtick is popular. There's no denying that.
Mm-hmm.
This other guy, what's his name? John Gray. John Gray was very, listen, John Gray was a big shot in the apostate church. Until he shot himself in the foot a few times with female scandals.
Right.
He was sloppy. But before that, boy, he was the cat's meow. Even Oprah gave him a show. He had a show in Oprah. So, you see, this is what Satan does. This is what he does.
Yes.
He gets that young group. Right?
One of the things, the church I was going to, one of the things they were accused of is just catering to the young. They were looking for the young pastors. And, you know, people noticed that, started to notice that it was designed and being, you know, geared toward the youth more than anything, and not in a good way. And that's why if people understood what they were up against and who these people really are underneath this flesh, they would never go back into these churches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Right.
If they saw what is behind this flesh, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, you know, if they knew that, they would never enter another church again, one of these churches.
Right. So that's it. That's, you know, it is what it is. Now, if we don't grab them young, Satan will.
Yes.
Right?
But you're right about the counterfeit. I mean, it's everything is a counterfeit.
Everything.
We talked about that with the omnipresent. You know, he even tries to counterfeit that by having people everywhere.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because he can't be. Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely.
That was a good
Absolutely.
Touch.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
thank the Holy Spirit for that.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't want my Reformed friends to think I'm hearing voices. You know, I don't.
I wouldn't care if I heard some of that sound that was biblical.
Yeah,
I
care.
It's like, wait a minute,
absolutely.
I have something here.
Yeah.
You know, because you do have those moments where you know the Lord, the Holy Spirit is just gives you something and the light bulb goes on. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, and you write it down. Write it down.
Sure. Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But it's true. We can prove that. Just what you said, we can prove that not only biblically, but you can prove that going on right now.
Right.
And the guy just admitted it about the young pastor. So that was, you know, that was a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, because look, it's like all these people know that they're not, you see, they are pushing Satan's agenda, and some of them realize that they're not going to be alive to see it come to pass.
Right.
So they have to recruit a young generation in order for Satan's plan to continue. And, you know, look at a guy. I mean, what would a guy like T.D. Jakes and Steve Furtick have in common? What would they have in common? Nothing. Why would Steve Furtick sit on the lap? Why would Steve Furtick sit on T.D. Jakes' lap?
I have my own thoughts on that.
Right. Why would T.D. Jakes allow? Why would T.D. Jakes allow Steve Furtick to sit on his lap?
Mm-hmm.
See, why would one guy do it, and why would another guy allow it?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, the same guy that had was getting the Holy Spirit in the Church of Detroit, remember?
Right, yeah.
Why did one guy do it, and why did the one guy allow it? You know, you have to.
Right. Sure.
It's the same thing.
Same thing. All right.
He goes on to state that the Druckerites, Bob Buford, Bill Hybels, and Rick Warren, formed, bankrolled, and promoted the emerging church much the same way a music marketing company might form and promote a boy band like the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. Rick Warren also endorsed leadership.
You see what they called it? A boy band.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Not a men band.
Yeah.
A boy band.
Boy bands. Yep.
You see?
Yep.
It just goes to show you that they're targeting the young. That's what they're doing.
Yes. Think of David. The Lord snatched David when he was young. You see?
Well, take Mike Murdoch. What would Satan want with Mike Murdoch anymore? He's a has-been. What
yeah,
would Satan
right.
want with Paula White anymore? What does Satan want with Paul? Nothing. Why? He already used her. She did for Satan everything she was going to do. Why would Satan bother anymore with a guy like Robert Morris or a Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn's washed up.
That's right.
Right?
They're
so
on their way out.
Right. So you need new blood. New blood is what you need. That's it.
Do you remember us talking, you and I were talking about this agenda, and one of the things we noticed a long time ago is how much patience. We go back to even Alice Bailey.
Right.
And how much patience. It's the same agenda.
Right.
And it's still
same
moving
agenda.
Forward. They
That's
have,
it.
If anything, they have patience. And
That's,
they don't care what generation accomplishes what they want done. They just move it forward.
They just keep pushing. They keep pushing the ball forward. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's 1 yard, even if it's one, they don't. They just keep pushing forward. That's what they do.
That's right.
All right.
Network organizer Bob Buford's book, Halftime, calling Buford a rare individual, and said, "I want every man in my congregation to read this inspiring story." Bob Buford reciprocates admiration to Rick Warren, saying on his official website, "Expect to meet change makers. In the early days of Leadership Network, it was Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. Now these two have enormous self-sufficient teaching ministries on their own. As for megachurch pastor Bill Hybels and Willow Creek's role with Leadership Network and the emerging church, Bob Buford says, the first foundation conference was held in Dallas and was the beginning of a partnership between Bob and Linda, Leadership Network and Willow Creek Community Church. Bob and Linda provided the vision and willingness to underwrite any shortfall. Bill Hybels and the music and drama team from Willow Creek provided expertise in designing messages that hit the heart through a very high-quality blend of the spoken work, music, and drama. Considering the loyalties of Rick Warren and Bill Hybels toward Peter Drucker, it is no wonder that they have endorsed and promoted the emerging church, a product developed by fellow Druckerite Bob Buford."
Bill Hybels and Willow Creek played a very key role in launching Rob Bell and his church, Mars Hill, in Grand Rapids, Michigan. When you travel to Willow Creek, when you go into their bookstore, they have an entire section of the bookstore dedicated to just about every single sermon delivered by Rob Bell at Willow Creek. You can purchase them. Every single Pneuma DVD video is available. Every single book, and it's featured prominently. The reason why you will not hear Rick Warren or Bill Hybels publicly say Rob Bell, Tony Jones, Doug Padgett, and them are teaching false doctrine is because they have a vested interest in the success of their products because they help develop them.
Leadership Network also was a very powerful force in all this. When I would call on somebody or go visit a church or, you know, go to an event and I would say, I'm with Leadership Network, people tended to know what that meant.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't the Doug Padgett-ness so much as it was, you know, the power of the position.
You had the clout of Bob Buford and Peter Drucker and the Willow Creek Association and the Saddleback Association all behind you.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, hey, those are people, I know who that group is. They write some good stuff and they're, you know, they do some good things.
Implementing the secular business practices into the church from Peter Drucker, who was not even a Christian, will inevitably lead to destruction because it is making Drucker's humanistic model the foundation for building and growing the church. Whereas the Bible teaches us that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, men can follow God's way or man's way in pursuit of church growth. May church leaders hearing this message be encouraged to follow God's way, since it is God's church, and Jesus said, I will build my church. Certainly, Peter Drucker meant well in his quest for optimum community.
No, he didn't mean well because, how can somebody mean well when they're sent by Satan?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We can never say that Alice Bailey meant well.
No.
We can never say that. Right. We can never say that Bishop Eddie Long meant well. No.
No.
No. So, yeah, no. I like this guy, but there I part ways with him. No, Mr.
Well,
Drucker.
Well, that's what we're here
never,
to do.
Yeah, and Mr. Drucker never meant well. Because Satan, when he sows tares, doesn't mean well.
Exactly.
You can't
Good
call
point.
It the Church of Tares and then say, you know, Drucker meant well. No.
Yeah.
No.
There's nothing good in him.
Nothing.
There's nothing good in any of what Anything he did and everything he planned was evil.
Evil.
And we're looking at it today. You know,
right.
We're experiencing it today, the effects of it. So,
right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I agree with you.
Here it goes. Yeah, here.
The power of the position.
You had the clout of Bob Buford and Peter Drucker and the Willow Creek Association and the Saddleback Association all behind you.
I mean, it was like, hey, those are people, I know who that group is. They write some good stuff, and they do some good things.
Implementing the secular business practices into the church from Peter Drucker, who was not even a Christian, will inevitably lead to destruction because it is making Drucker's humanistic model the foundation for building and growing the church. Whereas the Bible teaches us that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, men can follow God's way or man's way in pursuit of church growth. May church leaders hearing this message be encouraged to follow God's way, since it is God's church, and Jesus said, I will build my church. Certainly, Peter Drucker meant well in his quest for optimum community, but his worldly business management philosophies in the megachurch and emerging church movements have acted like steroids being injected into the body of Christ, causing unnatural, monster growth from which the consequences will be severe and fatal.
You can't talk community development without talking about churches and mosques and temples and synagogues. You just can't talk about it because they are the community. So my challenge to you is, can we not all get along?
See, that's Satan talking.
Yeah.
Right there. That's
Rodney
that's
King
talking.
Theology, right?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Exactly. You're right. You're right with that. That's exactly it.
Try telling a hungry bear when he wants one of your sheep. Tell him when he comes, can't we all get along and see what he tells you? He's going to take one of his paws and with it destroy you, and then he's going to grab your sheep and he's going to eat them. Because the bear, the lion, the hyena, the jackal, the wolf, the leopard, they never want to get along. They want to devour.
Yes.
You see, they always want us to get along. Why don't you guys, instead of fighting, why don't you just be for unity? See, they always want it their way.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I've come to bring division. I've come to bring a sword between mother and daughter. One will believe in me, the other one will oppose me. They will be at war, doctrinally speaking. No, we're not going to get along. It's just no. I'm going to
truth
witness
divide.
To those. Yeah, sure.
Truth divide. That's
absolutely.
What it does.
Absolutely.
What are the global giants in the world? What are the problems that affect billions of people, not millions?
The vehicle to bring about Drucker's vision of a new society is Rick Warren's peace plan. Warren unveiled his purpose-driven peace plan in Angel Stadium before 30,000 church members on April 17, 2005.
When he announced it, first they kicked off with Purple Haze, Rick Warren singing, you know, Purple Haze in My Brain, you know, Jimi Hendrix's song about LSD. Jimi Hendrix talks about how he was possessed and songs just came out of him, you know. And here we're singing a song, not me, but, you know, these guys are singing this song, Rick Warren leading with his band backing him, about Purple Haze and, you know, back to the 60s and that whole mentality of the Age of Aquarius. And here he announces his peace plan.
When I studied and read Rick Warren's Global Peace Plan that he launched at the stadium in California with the song of Jimi Hendrix's song, there was nothing in that song about the gospel. Why would you want to launch a global peace plan with a pagan or an atheist or whether it's the lyrics of which have nothing to do with the gospel.
In introducing his peace plan, Warren said, "My hope is for a new reformation in the church and a new spiritual awakening throughout the world." Warren also believes that the popularity of his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is an indication of this new reformation in Christianity. He stated, "I believe that we are possibly on the verge of a new reformation in Christianity and another great awakening in our nation. The signs are everywhere, including the popularity of this book. But what is this new reformation, this new spiritual awakening associated with Saddleback's peace plan and Drucker's new society?" In 1982, Robert Schuller issued a call for a new reformation in his book Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. Then in 1999, C. Peter Wagner announced a new apostolic reformation in his book Churchquake.
But I want to remind you that the new apostolic reformation is the most radical change in the way of doing church since the Protestant Reformation. That's what we're dealing with.
What a piece of garbage that book was. That earthquake, that churchquake. That church, garbage. Yeah,
wow.
They gave it to me as a gift. One of my friends who went over there and got a $600 apostleship, he came back with the book and said, he says, "Look what I got for you, Churchquake." And I said, "Okay." And I read it and I said, "This is garbage. Pure garbage. Pure garbage."
Mm. Was that C. Peter Wagner?
I'm sorry?
Was that C. Peter Wagner's book?
Yeah, C. Peter Wagner, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just wondered.
Yeah. Garbage.
Garbage.
I mean, yeah, and even the picture of the book shows the church, like, going through an earthquake. It was corny. The concept, because nothing has, there's been no quake. There's been no quake.
Right.
What is he talking about? There's been a lot of quacks. A lot of quacks, but no quake.
Quacks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when
sure.
Rick Warren mentions a peace plan, that made me nervous first time I heard it. And that goes back to, like, 2003, 2005.
I didn't even hear it. I didn't even know he had a peace plan.
Oh,
beware
of the fixer. He'll talk about it here, but beware of the fixer. That's all and this peace plan is to fix all the problems in society. So,
sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
Their reformation is the gathering of tares into the Antichrist system. That's what it is.
Sure.
It's not the reformation that we talk about. You know, you can't reform anything without Christ and the true gospel. You know, this is the beginning of woke Christianity here, too, if you combine it.
Right.
This is where they start to introduce woke Christianity. So, okay.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Sorry.
21st century with.
Now Rick Warren is calling for yet another new reformation based on his peace plan to wipe out the global problems and make the church relevant to unbelievers. Rick Warren later changed the P in his peace acrostic from planting churches to promote reconciliation. For example, listen to his speech before an audience of Muslims who would have found the idea of planting Christian churches offensive. On page 48 of Brian McLaren's book, Everything Must Change, he speaks in favor of Warren's peace plan. McLaren says, "Under the banner of a five-point peace plan, Warren called local churches to participate in a second reformation. This first reformation, led by Martin Luther, Warren explains, was about belief. This one will be about deeds. It is about what the church should be doing in the world."
Many of you know Rick Warren, the well-known pastor from Southern California. And I was so impressed. You know, Rick wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold, it broke all kinds of sales records. I don't know how many gazillion it sold, but it, it really has been incredible. It was an incredibly significant publication. Now, what would really be interesting, when someone writes a book called The Purpose-Driven Life and they suddenly get huge amounts of money and fame and influence coming their way, then it'll be interesting to watch. How does the author use all that fame, money, and influence, you know? What, you'll really see what his purpose is at that point, not just what he writes about, but how he lives. And you know what Rick did with all of that fame and power and influence that came his way? He said, we've got to get people concerned about global crises. He came up with a list of five. If you know Rick, you know it would be in an acrostic, P-E-A-C-E.
Warren discussed his peace plan as follows. When Jesus sent the disciples into a village, he said, find the man of peace. And he said, when you find the man of peace, you start working with that person. And if they respond to you, you work with them. If they don't, you dust off your shoes, you go to the next village. Who's the man of peace in any village? Or it might be a woman of peace who has the most respect. They're open and they're influential. They don't have to be a Christian. In fact, they could be a Muslim. But they're open and they're influential, and you work with them to attack the five giants. And that's going to bring the second reformation.
Do you want to work with us on poverty, disease, AIDS, illiteracy, injustice? I often find people are more unwilling to work with us than we are willing to work with them. In other words, we're saying you don't have to change your beliefs for us to work with you. If you can only work with people that you agree with, then most of the world you're ruling out.
Right.
Okay? I don't insist that a Muslim change his belief for me to work on poverty. I don't even insist that a gay person has to change their beliefs. They're not going to accept my belief, or I'm not going to accept theirs. But I just met with the...
When I'm out...
Wow.
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 That's right.
No.
You know... Jesus didn't say, find the man of peace and work with them. He said,
right.
It's a son of peace. And that's a common Aramaic and Hebrew expression, man of peace. You know, I looked it up, common. So that term, he's taking that, and I think he was referring to Luke 10:6, where Jesus was sending the disciples out as laborers. You know, for the harvesting of souls. It's not about building better community centers.
Right.
That,
right.
You know, so he twisted that. I mean.
Sure.
And he,
sure.
You know, he has a plan. That peace plan is unity with paganism. That's what it is with the pagans. And it's part of the coexist movement. And it's work-based Christianity. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's, in other words, listen, you don't have to come to Christ in order for us to work. Because, look, the Bible tells me, be ye not equally yoked together with what? Unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Muslim. I'm not supposed to be working together with a Muslim. I'm not. Plain and simple.
And I went up, I looked up the yoked, and, you know, it talks about being unequally yoked in some translations, but I read that it was a metaphor coming from Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you know, the yoking.
Sure.
Now, we all have friends, I think, or people that we know who are not believers, basically, and that we have worked on things with them. Yoked is totally different, you know, being yoked with someone. I wouldn't go to church with that person. I wouldn't have communion with that person. You understand what I'm saying?
Look, I can't. There's nothing I can do about work. If I had a secular job and there were three gay guys at the job, there's nothing I can do about their gayhood.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Right. But now in the church, it's a different story. See?
Right.
When we're doing the Lord's work, we mm-hmm. cannot confuse people by letting them think that we can work with gays. Why can't we
right.
not work with gays? Well, because they're unsaved. They have their
yeah.
sin is a great abomination before the Lord. That's why. Listen,
right.
I used to do AIDS work when
mm-hmm.
the AIDS epidemic was strong. I did AIDS work in the church.
Right.
But I never joined with the gays.
Yes,
I never
exactly.
said, hey, let's work
exactly.
together. No. I ministered yes. to people that had AIDS. I was at the deathbed of many people who had AIDS. I went
mm-hmm.
to the cemetery, and we did the service of committal, which, you know, you lowered the
mm-hmm.
body into the ground for people
right.
that. But I didn't. But I wasn't part of some gay movement.
Correct.
I never
correct.
Gave the gays the right hand of fellowship.
Correct.
Oh, we're working together for this cause. No, on
right.
my little corner of the world, I'm helping people with AIDS, and in your corner of the world, you help the people that you think you need to help with AIDS. But
right.
AIDS does not give
right.
us a common ground. It doesn't. Because Christ is the only common ground. And if you don't have Christ, we don't have a common ground. Plain and simple.
Right. Right. I mean, you unload a food truck every week. Now, you don't go to that church, do you? You don't
no.
attend that church?
That, no.
But you help, you know, help the community and help the church by doing things that, you know other people can't do. That doesn't mean you're yoked. The key word is yoked there, being yoked with someone.
Right.
That's what
right.
I think, I believe. It says be not yoked together with unbelievers. Yoked, you know, being yoked with someone is totally different than knowing someone. I know a lot of people that I would say that are not believers. But I'll tell you what, if I had a problem, I could call one, a worldly problem. Let's just say you and I had a legal problem. I know a lawyer who would step up and defend both of us. You know?
Right.
A good lawyer, a very good lawyer, who would
mm-hmm.
step up right now and say, yes, I'll help you both out. What can I do? Now, that
right.
person may not be the same religion, but that person would step in and help if I asked. You know.
Well, here's the thing.
Now, am I yoked together with that person? No, I need that person's professional help.
Look,
you know what I'm saying?
If I have a fire in my house and the fireman comes, I'm not saying, hey, are you Christian? No, I'm a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't shut off my fire.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
No, that's right. No, that's again. That's,
see, there's a lot of confusion over this. There's a lot of confusion in the church because I'm not going to say over this. It's because of this. They're yoking people together, you know, unbelievers and believers who are in there. They're yoking them together in the church. That's where the problem is. It's not that you're yoking with people. You can help people. You know, you can love your neighbor. You can help people and not be yoked with them. And that's where they're confusing people. You know,
right,
they
right.
are yoking people together.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
You know, and we don't handle the affairs of men. You know, God handles the world. Our concern is in the church, and that
absolutely.
Is deeds and doctrine. That's
mm-hmm.
the thing that we deal with, not drama
right. Right.
and doctrine.
Right.
That's it.
That's it. Here's more from Warren.
Out working on trying to stop AIDS. I'll work with an atheist. I'll work with a gay person. I'll work with somebody who totally disagrees with me. If they want to work on an issue, fine. What? We're building a bridge.
Warren's peace.
There they go again. The bridge builders.
Yes.
The bridge makers.
Yeah. I was going to, I didn't want to put you through that again. I keep, you know, you have the best explanation for that, and you will hear that in all these churches. They're bridge builders. And that's why I keep making you point this out, what that is. Because you knew. I did not understand what that was until you pointed that out.
Well, basically,
that's Roman Catholic.
Right. Well, it's the idea is pagan, which was later adopted by the Roman Catholic Church, but the idea originally is pagan. And the pagan high priest in Rome was called Pontifex Maximus, from the word pontus, meaning bridge. A Pontifex Maximus is the so-called high priest that is the go-between between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, "For we have one mediator," or one bridge between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I don't need to build any bridges. I don't need to build one bridge. Why?
Right.
Because the bridge is a person.
Mm-hmm.
That bridge is Jesus Christ. How could I, in my humanity and in my stupidity, try to build Jesus? It's just asinine. The bridge, everyone gets on that bridge and makes it to glory. So we're gonna build bridges. Build bridges to what? To the grave? Because this is the bottom line. Let's just say we solve the AIDS problem. Okay, we solved AIDS. Well, what happens to those people who got healed from AIDS? Well, eventually they're gonna die from something else. Car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Plane crash, drowning, bullet wound. Eventually you're going to die of something.
Mm-hmm.
So when you die, you needed a bridge. See, these morons are talking about, let's build the bridge to solve hunger. Okay, so I died with a full belly. Now I got another problem. How do I get from earth to heaven?
Yes.
So you solved hunger, but you didn't solve salvation. Salvation is the biggest problem. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his what? His soul.
So
he's building stupid little bridges down here that, you know, the other day I was showing my son, there was a little tiny creek. It was so insignificant. But somebody built a little bridge. The bridge was 2 feet long, if you can imagine, a two-feet bridge. And so it was from one side of the little creek to the other. It was a miniature creek. And a homeowner built a little tiny bridge. My son said, "What's that? I never seen a bridge." I said, "That's a bridge." You don't even need the bridge, because all you have to do is extend your leg and you can cross over the little creek with your leg. But somebody decided to. So these little bridges that they're trying to create are short-lived because eventually Rick Warren's going to die. And he's going to need a real bridge.
Mm-hmm.
A real bridge. Think about this. And I hate to go off on this tangent. But
no, that's okay, because, I make you do this every time. It's because that's what they call themselves. This is important. So go ahead.
Right. So in New York City, they have 21 bridges. 21, right? Okay, think about the George Washington Bridge. What a massive that is so massive it has 3 levels on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can go over that bridge on the lower level, the middle level, or the top level. That's how many cars. You know how one bridge just has one level. The George Washington Bridge has 3 levels, 3 in each direction. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive bridge. It gets you from the Bronx to New Jersey, or if you're on the Jersey side, into the Bronx, right? Okay. You have the Brooklyn Bridge. What a massive bridge that is, the Brooklyn Bridge. You have the Manhattan Bridge. You have the Verrazano Bridge, right? I mean, you got the Kosciuszko Bridge. You have the Throgsnik Bridge, the Whitestone Bridge, the RFK Bridge. These are massive bridges. Now, what problem do they solve? Well, they get you from one point to another over a huge body of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, to go over the bridge, you got to pay a toll. The George Washington Bridge right now, I think, is $15.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's massive. Okay, so for every bridge, you got to pay a toll. Okay, so you want to get from earth to heaven. There's only one bridge. There's not 21 bridges. There's not 21 bridges like in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, there's one bridge. And that bridge is Jesus Christ.
And
this
you can only climb up that way.
That's it. And this moron is talking about, we're going to build bridges. Hello? We're going to... What? Are you that stupid?
Yeah. Evidently they are.
Yeah.
Which bridge leads into Manhattan? Is there a bridge that leads into Manhattan?
Well, that's the Manhattan Bridge.
Is that it? Well, I don't know. I was on the wrong bridge.
Well,
I went into New York once pulling a trailer and ended up in Manhattan. Wrong way.
All these bridges lead. That's why there's 21 bridges, because through the 21 bridges you can connect to the five boroughs. Now, the one bridge that connects you from the four boroughs into Staten Island is the Verrazano Bridge. That's the one bridge, right? But they got all kinds of they have all kinds of bridges.
Well, I think I had to find a tunnel. I'm pulling a trailer, mind you, and I had to find some kind of tunnel thing. Is there a tunnel?
Well, you have the battery tunnel. You have the Battery Tunnel. You have the Lincoln Tunnel.
I was heading to Long Island, and I ended
That's
up.
What?
I was heading to Long Island, and I ended up Manhattan. I don't know how to this day, I have no idea how I did it, and I have no idea how I figured my way out, but I did.
Yeah.
But I had to go through a tunnel, I think, somewhere.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, pulling a trailer. Now think about that. That was horrible. It was horrible.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
My memories of New York.
New York's a wonderful place, but not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah.
It's unbelievers, Muslims, homosexuals, etc., setting aside differences and working together to fight poverty, disease, AIDS, illiteracy, and injustice. This, according to Warren, will bring about the Second Reformation. Thus, Warren's Reformation is a social reformation rather than a spiritual one.
And so the Reformation needs to be about what we do, not what we say we do.
In conjunction with his peace plan, Rick Warren is promoting the three-legged stool, a concept introduced by Peter Drucker as a means to bring together different sectors in society. Drucker believed that the only way to persuade the world to accept change was to engage the public sector of effective government, the private sector of effective business, and the social sector of effective community organizations, including nonprofit faith-based organizations.
Over the last 2 years, I've spent a lot of time flying around meeting with every country we go into. We meet with the government leaders, we meet with the business leaders, and we meet with the pastors. We train the pastors, but we also meet with these other legs of the stool so that they understand they have to bring the church to the table.
There's a role for the public sector, there's a role for the private sector, and there's a role for the faith sector. Each of them can do something that none of the other three can do.
Can we not work together in building the three legs of the stool? For the last 3 years, I've been working on a prototype of this. It's called the Peace Plan, P-E-A-C-E. Promote reconciliation. Equip ethical leaders. Assist the poor. Care for the sick. Educate the next generation.
Peter Drucker, when he got involved with the mega churches, he came to recognize that one of the easiest things to put together, of course, as we understand, is a world economic system. And we're about there now. That's the easiest part of the stool to get together in a one world order. The second part is the governance of that. That's more difficult. And it takes a crisis to develop that. And then you take advantage of the crisis that is created. But the most difficult is how in the world do you get the heart of these people? My feeling, of course, is that third leg of the stool is the last leg to be developed, and that will be a religious leg, a religion that is man-made and not God-made.
If you are a global business leader, you need to understand that the future of the world is...
Well, yeah, I mean, we can all tell what this is coming to. I mean, mm-hmm. when you read about Mystery Babylon, the super church mm-hmm. is powerful because it has political, economic, and religious ties. Mystery Babylon has the three legs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. So what are when these guys see a three-legged school, politics, economics, and religion? Oh, you're talking about the Whore of Babylon. That's who you're talking about?
Yep.
Because we speak here in Bible language. You guys are talking over there in secular language, but, oh, you're talking about the Whore of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about that.
I mean, they admit that. Yeah, they admit
sure.
that. I mean, you
sure.
know, hoping that people do not understand the Bible. They depend
right.
on that. They're, you know, and one thing he said, there a crisis is created and you take advantage of that. Remember, they're saying, out of chaos comes order. Even Hillary said that. She said that all
sure.
the time. So
sure.
think of that in light of what we're seeing today, what's going on today.
Sure.
So who creates
sure.
a crisis and who gets the order? That
look,
would be my question.
Look, is it a coincidence that the United States is letting Putin do what he wants to do? No. Why? Because,
mm-hmm.
look how bad Putin is. Look what he's doing. The Putin tax hike. Our food cut because of Putin. Our gas because of Putin. No. This is part of the reset. You're pointed to
mm-hmm.
Putin, and it's, you guys are planning the reset.
Exactly.
So you're taking advantage of that crisis. You're blaming the poor guy. Now, that's not to say he's not to blame. He's got a lot to be blamed for. But he's
mm-hmm.
not to blame for the gas prices.
Right.
He's not to blame for the food shortage at Walmart, that now when you go to the
mm-hmm.
shelves, there's things you used to find you can't find anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get 36 eggs for $4.80-something.
Mm-hmm.
18 in one car and 18 in another for $4.30-something. There was no reason to have chickens because eggs were so cheap that
right.
it would cost you more to have laying hens than to just go to Walmart and buy the egg. There was no reason to have laying hens. Now, the same 30, you know how much they are? $7.16.
Wow.
That's $3 more, well, $2 and some cents more.
Right.
Two and a quarter more. So now I got to go get laying hens because it's cheaper now to have the laying hens than to go to Walmart and buy the eggs. See?
That's right.
And so everything is up.
Yeah.
A canister, there's a certain iced tea that my son likes. We always used to buy it at $4.84.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was $5.20-something.
Wow.
That's 40 cents jump.
Right.
That's a 40 cents jump.
Why
on
your gas
item.
In California was was like $6.59 a gallon in California.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, and see,
crazy.
So though they blame it on Putin. See, Putin is the boogeyman. And meanwhile, they are using Putin and the crisis to do their reset. That's what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, all these things going on, you have to remember, it's people with money backing in an agenda. Politics, you know, rich politicians, rich leaders and all that. What they're doing is they're creating these crises. It's not, we can't point our finger at any one person. They're creating this for the agenda. That's exactly the Great Reset. That's why they're doing it.
Right.
They're resetting society. It's got nothing
to
do. The victims are the people involved in it, you know.
Right.
We're caught up in these things. We're the victims, not them. They're creating. It's a chessboard to them, you know. What move are we going to make next to get the reset? This is all about getting that agenda. So
that's what it is. All right, here's more.
It's not secularism. It is religious pluralism. You may not like that, but you're going to have to deal with it.
Warren's Reformation has little to do with preaching the gospel, but much to do with all religions setting aside their differences in order to solve global problems.
The person over here who asked about the millennial goals, I met last month with Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to talk about faith-based organizations working with the UN on this. And later you should talk to Tony Blair, who's just formed a foundation. He's much too humble to talk about it on this very issue. To my brother, Islamic brother here from Italy, I would say, I'm not really interested in interfaith dialogue. I'm interested in interfaith projects. We got enough talk.
Notice how Warren's peace plan is distinctly different than Jesus' peace plan. In Warren's project, Christians and Muslims are equally yoked together in ministry, whereas Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Jesus' peace plan brings a sword of division between Christians and those hostile to the gospel, such as Muslims, so that a man's foes shall be those of his own household. This sword that Jesus spoke of was his word, and the gospel that would divide households once allegiances were made to his kingdom. While Warren's plan is seeking to bring about interfaith peace and world peace, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." Jesus came to bring peace with God through repentance and faith in him, not world peace, as Warren's peace plan achieves. Just as Drucker criticized Christianity for being too individualistic, the church growth movement seeks to appeal to unbelieving people groups collectively. Paul Smith writes, "The Fuller School of World Missions founding dean, Donald McGavran, introduced a new theory. He advocated that missionaries should not make a gospel appeal for a response from an individual, but elicit responses from groups of people. This new missional theory appealed to unbelieving homogeneous people groups to collectively agree to abandon their old religion, identify with Christ, claim the Bible as their authority, claim the church as their religious institution. An entire people group or society being Christianized cannot be equated with individuals one by one being born again.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth is an individual matter. It's individually coming to Jesus.
But in fulfillment of Drucker's lifelong goal of creating a new society through the megachurch, Time magazine reported, Over the last 4 years, Warren has beta tested his plan by sending almost 8,000 members of his own 22,000-member Saddleback Church congregation and an undetermined number from 12 other congregations to work in 68 nations. The flagship project has been in Rwanda, whose president has declared his intentions to make his country the world's first purpose-driven nation.
Boy, how delusional.
Yeah, now it's global, see?
Yep.
Started in the church. It's going, well, it didn't start in the church. It started in the universities, you know? And then it moved into the church. Now it's going global. Do you see where this is headed?
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Sure.
Their new evangelism. You know, you have to agree to abandon the old religion. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to abandon truth. Identify with Christ. Well, they use his name when necessary. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Claim the Bible as their authority. Well, they twist scriptures, and sometimes they don't even use the Bible. And claim the church as their religious institution. So they want everyone to have a form of godliness, but they
mm-hmm.
deny the power, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Crazy, isn't it? I mean, this is where we're headed, and we can see it around us. And Tony Blair did baffle me, by the way. I'm going to say this quickly. He's the former Prime Minister of England. He was Church of England, and I said this a while ago. You know, this bothered me because then he switched to Roman Catholicism, and then he came to the United States and taught at different universities. Think about it. Why?
Mm-hmm. To influence the young, to recruit
mm-hmm.
the young, right?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, notice. Tony Blair, university, those are young minds that need
mm-hmm.
to be molded. That's who they targeted.
Yes, and that's what Gramsci said. We need to get the youth. You know, and this is Marxism. They had to spread it through the universities because that's where the youth were. They had to get those young minds, you see. And I think they accomplished that. You know, look at, you know, some of our leaders in the church today. They're just promoting Marxism. So.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. Well, what do you think?
Simply called the Peace Plan, this ambitious effort takes Warren's purpose-driven philosophies to new heights. Rwanda became the first nation to sign up, thanks in large part to the country's president, Paul Kagame, and his unique relationship with Pastor Warren. This next step involves bringing the country's three sectors of society together to work on developing the country.
The component of faith and Christianity, government and business.
Success here means this peace model may one day be replicated in other countries. A possible goal is 68 other countries, and Saddleback Church has sent out nearly 8,000 members in small teams around the world.
I want to tell you, I'm more excited about purpose-driven and the peace plan than I've ever been because I saw an amazing result. And I'm watching an entire nation being transformed because of you, Saddleback Church. The president was flat out overjoyed. I spent 2 days with the president's advisory council, which I serve on. I spoke to a national prayer breakfast to about 400 of the leading government leaders. There was great enthusiasm. In fact, they've asked me to train their leadership. I had private meetings with the president of the central bank, the governor of the central bank, and the prime minister, of course, with the president. And these men have asked me to do leadership training for that nation with the government because they've seen what's happened with our pastors.
This idea of a purpose-driven nation or purpose-driven country or purpose-driven society is no different than Emperor Constantine's intentions with the Holy Roman Empire. In the early 4th century AD, Constantine adopted the Christian faith for the entire Roman Empire.
Constantine declared that the Roman world is now Christian.
Christianizing a nation, an entire society, proved to be a fatal mistake. After Constantine's declaration, Christianity was mixed with the empire's existing secular beliefs and holidays, causing confusion which remains today. As Rick Warren launched the Purpose-Driven Living in Uganda campaign, the following press release also spoke of the purpose-driven country and the purpose-driven continent. Pastor Rick has partnered with the president and others to make Rwanda a purpose-driven country. I ask, why not Uganda as well? Archbishop Arombi challenged an unprecedented gathering of 450 national leaders at a banquet gathered to hear Dr. Warren speak. Uganda should be a purpose-driven nation as well. But it takes people of purpose to build purpose-driven churches, purpose-driven communities, and a purpose-driven country. Someday, we will have a purpose-driven continent.
You know, we told the Rwandans about our next goal. Now that we've gone to every nation, we're now going to go to the 3,800 unengaged people groups, these small tribes that don't have any church in it between now and the end of the decade.
While Warren's plan for changing and reaching the world are very noble, it is dreadful to think that the watered-down, easy-believism version of the gospel is not only being spread all over the world, but now going to be proclaimed to unreached people groups of the world.
Hi, I'm Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church in Southern California and author of The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. I want to talk to you about something that's deeply embedded in my heart, and maybe it's embedded in yours. If you care about taking the whole gospel to the whole world in a whole new way, I want to talk to you for just a minute.
In an article entitled Rick Warren in Rwanda Announces Plans to Host All 54 African Nations at Purpose-Driven Church Congress, the Christian Post reports, Pastor Rick Warren announces plans for the All Africa Purpose-Driven Church Congress to be held in August 6th through 10th, 2015. The report continues, the conference will be the first of five annual continent-wide conferences to take place by 2020, with the second planned to be held in Latin America in 2016. This conference will be held in Rwanda, the first purpose-driven nation. Warren explained how the idea for the peace plan was birthed in 2003, but it became a reality as Rwanda became the first purpose-driven nation. Warren said, most nations are validated by their strength in exports. Rwanda can become famous for exporting leadership. Rwanda should be the leadership and innovation capital of the continent of Africa. That is why I am calling leaders from across the continent to come to Rwanda next year to learn. The strength of Rwanda is not in the ground, it's in the people. Rick Warren is pointing to Rwanda as the model for the entire continent of Africa. In other words, the country, which became the first purpose-driven nation, is now Warren's model for what he hopes will be the first purpose-driven continent. Pastor Rick Warren cast the following vision for the year 2015.
Now let me tell you about a couple of opportunities we've got coming up in our church in 2015, since this is Vision Weekend. Paul says there's a wide open door for a great work here. We have just been given a wide open door like no other church in the history of Christianity. An opportunity to impact an entire continent. Let me give you the background. We started the peace plan about 10 years ago to promote reconciliation and plant churches, to equip leaders, to assist the poor, to care for the sick, to educate the next generation. Over the next 10 years, we sent out 23,869 of our members to 197 nations. Nobody has ever done that, ever, anywhere, in 2,000 years of Christianity. This is the most global-minded church on the planet, bar none, bar none. One of those 197 countries was a little nation called Rwanda. Only 10 million people had been devastated by a genocide 20 years ago when 1 million people were killed. The president of that country, President Paul Kagame, read my book, Purpose-Driven Life. And he wrote me a letter and he says, I read Purpose-Driven Life. I'm a man of purpose. I invite you to come and help us rebuild our nation.
Help us become the first purpose-driven nation. Bring the peace plan. Bring your training. And so while we were sending 23,000 members to every nation, we made a concerted effort to send 1,200 of our members to this little country called Rwanda. And we began to train them in everything possible to help them rebuild. We first started with the churches, working in and through the churches. Over 4,000 churches have gone through purpose-driven training. Over 2,000 of them have completed 3 years of training. These churches are growing. They're caring for the sick. They're assisting the poor. They're helping educate the next generation. They're doing things that the government had neither the money nor the expertise to do. Now, when this started happening in Rwanda, I started getting calls first from other business leaders, other church leaders, other African leaders, and then I started getting calls from the presidents of nations. I've had 5 African presidents call me and say, when are you bringing the peace plan to our nation? And I said, well, we're not, but we'll send the Rwandans. Because we'll train them to train others, to train others, to train others. So then I got the idea, well, what about instead of us going to them, why don't we bring them all in to Rwanda? So a month ago, I invited the top leaders of 35 nations, 31 African nations, and leaders from Russia, from China, from India, and from the United States. 35 nations, invited them to go with me to Rwanda to see this national miracle of a purpose-driven nation and the purpose and the peace plan. And we took them. I let them see how we work with business leaders. I took a lot of them to see how we work with government leaders. I took them and let them see how we work with educational leaders. And, of course, I let them see, most of all, how we're working through the churches. The church is the center of the community. And every one of these leaders said, we're going back to our nation to plan a steering committee for a purpose-driven peace plan strategy nationwide in our nation. So next year, in August, we're going to hold the first All-Africa Continental Congress for Purpose-Driven Leadership in Rwanda. They've just got a new convention center finished. And we're going to bring the top leaders from all 54 African nations together. And we're going to train them in how to do PD, purpose-driven, and the peace plan.
Notice this is not...
All right, we're going to have to end it there because we're running out of time. It's 2 hours and 34 minutes. And as you can see, the devil is giving this... Remember, Satan is the god of this world.
Yep.
So who's opening doors for him? Satan.
Yep. Just
That's
think
all.
About that. He went from a pastor to getting countries to sign up with a peace plan. So he's a global influencer.
Sure.
Scary.
Sure.
So when people
Absolutely.
Mention Rick Warren, what's wrong with him? There's a lot wrong with him.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a great, great video. This guy, he's got all this evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this
yes.
is just, it's just packed with evidence, proof.
Yes.
That, it's not that he's quoting Rick Warren. He's letting Rick Warren quote himself.
Exactly.
And that's the best. That is the best.
That's why I sent it out. You couldn't, you know how long it would take to tell someone all this? You know, to explain any of this?
Right.
You know, and put the stuff together. This, you know, I thought he did a wonderful job on this. And
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we're living
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we're seeing it
before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my sister, listen, you have a great holiday weekend with the Lord. May all our listeners have a great holiday weekend with the Lord. And a great show as always. We're so glad
Thank
you're
you.
Back. We're so glad that, the bed of languishing is behind you. And we want to thank Chico for not barking. He did a great job. And you, my sister, you have the last word.
Well, I would just say also to the listeners, have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. And we will see you next week. Have a great day. Bye.
Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Come worshiping before the throne of God. Lifting hope.